Welcome, everybody, to Echo Church. Man, it's awesome to be with you. Welcome those of you who are joining us online, all of you at our Sunnyvale campus in South San Jose. So excited to be with you. It's kind of cool to think that we are three locations spread across Silicon Valley. So can we make some noise for all of our campuses joining us today? And we've really been having some fun around here talking about social media and technology. And I've noticed fewer people on Instagram in our church as we've been talking about how to be free from all the addiction that we face with tech. It's amazing how we are at the epicenter of what's happening with tech all over the world. And many times our lives are so controlled by technology. So today we're going to look at a very fresh angle. I think for me, this is probably the most personal of all the messages of the series because it flows out a lot of my journey of really learning. Ultimately, today's message is about learning how to rest or structure your time when it comes to technology. And it flows out of my own journey, but also some conversations I've had with many of you who live in Silicon Valley and fight the pressure with technology and with all that's happening with the companies around us. In fact, I was in a conversation with one guy one time who works for a company, I won't say the name, but it rhymes with Snapple, and he was talking about the pressure to perform with his job. He was talking about how he had this project, he was working with people in China, and he was saying how he had to get up at multiple different times during the night. Sometimes he'd have to have conference calls at 4 a.m. or like 9 p.m., and he'd get text messages in the middle of the night, like 2 a.m., and be expected to respond within several hours, and he's always on. He couldn't turn it off. And then he talked about, in addition to that, after dealing with all this pressure, he had to get in a car, you know, and drive 45 minutes to work 6 miles down the road. And there's a lot of pressure that we feel in our society, in our culture. There's financial pressure. And we're expected here in Silicon Valley to always be on all the time. And it's bearing some consequences for us. And there's a cost to it. There's a weight to it. And there's a great book that we read. Some of our staff members have kind of looked at some of the concepts in it. It's called The Sleep Revolution by Huffington. And she talks about the sleep deprivation in our society. And it's believed statistically that $63 billion every single year are wasted on people being tired at their place of work. There's a rise in death because people are too tired. There are diseases that come. 30% of Americans say that they sleep less than 6 hours a week. 1 in 3 of you, maybe that's why you sleep so much when I'm speaking. And then 95% of people between the ages of 18 to 29 sleep with their cell phones. So who needs a stuffed animal when you got a cell phone, baby? I mean, it's amazing the way that this pressure is coming in on us. And even a lot of times in conversation when I'm talking about this with people, they say, I don't know how it could be any other way. This is just the way it is for me. And if I don't respond at 2 a.m., there are 7 other engineers that are waiting for my job. And so I got to do it. And if I can't pay the bills, if I can't make this amount of money, then I can't live in my 900-square-foot condo anymore. And there's the pressure to perform in Silicon Valley, and we oftentimes are on this spiral of toil, and we try to get off of it, and we're exhausted, and we're not able to fully engage mentally with the most important task in our lives. We're not rested. We got bloodshot eyes, and we are trying to kill it. But the longer we're trying to kill it, killing it is ultimately killing us. And Elon Musk, I saw a video this week, works 120 hours a week, sleeps on a couch at Tesla. And that's real cool and all when you got lots of Teslas, but you can boast about that as much as you want, but you look at the most important aspects of his life, from family to relationships, they're suffering. We're suffering. And we don't know what to do about it. How do we get out of it? The pressure to always be on. And our technology is playing into it. Our phones, our devices, we can't turn it off. And we got anxiety and we got more depression in our society than any other time. What are we going to do about this? Well, today I want to talk about an invitation, a gift that God wants to give to you. It's called the gift of rest. That God wants to give you this phenomenal gift. It's the solution to the pressure. In fact, it's called what the Bible calls it Sabbath rest. Today we're going to talk about how do you enter into a kind of rest from the pressure. If you have a Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And this concept today is going to be so foreign, you might even be cross-eyed a little bit when we're talking. That's okay. It might take you some time to process it. You might even feel guilty a little bit. But know that I'm here today on behalf of God to give you a gift. And I'm here to give you some really good news that God is inviting you today to rest. And he's inviting you to be different than the rest of the world around you. One time I was talking to a friend of mine who worked for a tech company, and he said, it must be nice to be a pastor because you can take a day off. I didn't punch him. I didn't. I wanted to, but I didn't punch him. But, you know, the pressure is not just in tech. It's in construction. It's really in ministry. And I feel this myself because I stand on a stage and communicate on behalf of God, and there are all these spiritual needs that people have. Their spiritual needs don't let up. So I feel the same pressure that you feel to rest. Well, God gives an invitation in Deuteronomy chapter 5 to what he calls Sabbath rest. It's different than binging, watching, I don't know, what shows do you binge on? Jack Ryan or, it's a bad show, Game of Thrones, I digress. But that's not rest. We're going to talk about Sabbath rest that God gives to his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11, God is speaking through Moses. Now, Moses is giving this setup speech for the Israelites. So they're about to go over into the promised land. They've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. They have just before that come out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. And the Egyptians had oppressed them with forced labor. So now God brings them out, shows his power. They wander for 40 years. There's a group of them that have died off, the previous generation. So basically the people that are now receiving the instruction from Moses, this is the re-emphasis of the law that was given in Exodus, but it's really a way of preparing them for their freedom and their liberty in the promised land. So he goes through God's big 10. It's called the 10 Commandments. And the first four of the 10 Commandments emphasize relationship with God. The last six emphasize relationship with each other. It's interesting that Jesus, when he would teach, would talk about loving God and loving people being the two core things. So these big 10, you see the heart of God really that at the core of what God wanted for you and for me was that we would love him and love people. That was really the bottom line. Now, when I read the 10 Commandments, there are a few of them as commandments that really make sense. It's like, you know, don't have any other gods before me. Don't make idols. You know, don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't lie. Don't cheat. All these things, they make sense. Don't kill, murder. All this is like, okay, I get that, right? There's a moral code that is almost implicit to every culture, but God was trying to set up a nation that would be different. He called the word, he used the word holy to distinguish. It meant set apart. And these 10 commandments were to set them apart. So in the fourth commandment in verse 12, he says this, he says, observe the Sabbath day. It was a day. And that word Sabbath means to cease or desist. It's that you are giving your work a cease and desist order for one day. And it's saying, I'm gonna stop working for one day. And then he continues his thought, by keeping it holy, which means that it's set apart. It's different from all the other days, as the Lord your God has commanded you to do. It's funny that he would use the word commanded for rest, commanded for a day off. It kind of reminds me of my daughter, Karis, who screams when I say take a nap. It just doesn't make sense to me. It's like she said, I hate sleep. Hate it. I'm never going to sleep. She said that to me. Sometimes I'm never going to sleep. 5 minutes later, she's out. And she's resisting it, fighting it. And as an adult looking at a kid, you're like, well, how can't you receive this as a gift? But for her, it felt like, man, a weight, a pressure. I hate this. But God, he gives an invitation to his people And it's literally one day a week that you would give your work a cease and desist order. Now, for us in the 21st century, it's really not a matter of which day that is, because a lot of us, our work schedules are different. But Jesus would even later reemphasize this covenant that God makes with his people. It's holy. You have 6 days each week for ordinary work. Now, notice God likes work. He made work. Some of us are like, oh, I get a 7 day. No, it's not 7 days off, brother man. And Fortnite, unless you are ninja, does not count for work, okay? All the middle schoolers got that right there. So 6 days you work. God gave you hands, gave you legs, gave you a mouth, gave you a body. He formed you to work. It's implicit in design. You're supposed to work 6 days, one day off, he said. The seventh day, though, the Sabbath, is a day of rest dedicated. So that means it's like set apart to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters. It was funny, last week when we were talking about technology, my son Cademan, Stacy, my wife, was bringing the message, and she's talking about how we put technology out of the center of our home and all these boundaries we put in place. And he wrote on the connection card, N-O, and just held it up right in the middle of the message so everybody could see it. And this week, maybe when he hears this verse, he'll put yes. Like, sons and daughters get to rest too. And he says, the commandment says, your slaves or your servants, which basically in our translation would be people that work with you, work for you, that they should be able to rest. It's a commandment that the whole society would take a break. He talks about oxen and cows and cattle. Everybody's resting this day. It was interesting to me being in Israel this year for a Sabbath day. Everybody's rushing. And then Friday night when the sun goes down, everything has to be done. Food has to be cooked. Laundry needs to be done. All the work is finished so that on a day, one day a week, you can rest so that you can slow down long enough to let your soul catch up with you. It's the Sabbath requirement. It's the Sabbath gift. He says, finally, any foreigners living among you, all your male and female servants must rest. Verse 15. Now remember, we're going to come back to this, that one time you were slaves in Egypt. That's your old identity. But the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on one day a week called the Sabbath day. My big idea today is that Sabbath rest transforms the rest of your life. So when you can learn to take one day to rest, it spills over. And I'm talking about your devices. I'm talking about Instagram for 8 hours. I'm talking about all the things that take joy and peace away. When you can rest from it, it will bring you joy. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you three big ideas, a little application under each of the ideas, and talk about how can you do this. Now, some of you are like, I can't take a day off. So what I want you to do is just, I'm in charge right now, okay? So I got the microphone. So for the next 21 minutes and 33 seconds, entertain me that it might be possible that for one day a week, you don't have to be in charge of the universe. It might be, okay? So here's big idea number one. First one for me has been this, to see Sabbath as an invitation, which helps change the way that you perceive it in your mind, and it changes you, it transforms you. What it does is Sabbath as an invitation produces joy and peace in your life. So seeing Sabbath as an invitation helps breathe more joy into your soul. Jesus in the first century came and he started doing all these miracles, and he'd do them on every day. Like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Well, Sabbath was Saturday for the Jews. And Jesus, one time, he healed somebody on the Sabbath day. And there were these people, they were the religious leaders. And what they did was they took God's law or God's commandment and they attached all these other things to it. And they became the Sabbath police. So there were all these other things that they couldn't do on Sabbath. People were so fearful of the Sabbath that many of them thought they would die if they worked on a Sabbath day. So Jesus comes along. He doesn't have the same reverence that they did for all their rules that they created, which is interesting because we still as humans do this. We move back towards bondage. God liberates us, but we somehow drift back into rules and obligations. So God frees his people with this invitation, with a gift of one day off. Now there's all these rules on it. So the thing that God gave as an invitation now has become an obligation. So it's now a weight that they're carrying with all these rules. But Jesus spoke right into the heart of it in Matthew or Mark chapter 2, verse 27. I want you to see this on all of our screens at all of our campuses. He says, the Sabbath, Mark chapter 2, 27, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, not people meet the needs of the Sabbath. So you're liberated one day a week, and on that day there's an invitation for your body, your soul, your heart to rest. And when you do, there's a kind of joy. It's God's gift to you. God, notice, think for a second, okay? Notice how God designed the world. Those of you who are physicists around here, notice how God created the world. It rotates around the sun, and it's about 52 weeks around the sun every single year. And the moon rotates around, and it's about 4 weeks that the moon rotates around. And all kinds of weird different versions of the moon's rhythms and all that. But just about 4 weeks, and there's 7 days. From human history, there's been this design that God gives. There's a need for sleep. The sun goes down. When the sun goes down, we go to sleep. We're supposed to go to sleep. But we have that big bright blue eye light right here. And you can't sleep, so you're like this. Bloodshot eyes. One time we traveled across the country with our kids, and like, you know how sometimes you just you like give the device to the kids to just watch, and 5 hours later, you know, going west coast to east coast and all these movies, and they're all, you know, we made sure they're all clean, but at the end our kids just couldn't turn it off, and their eyes, Sammy is bloodshot, he's staring at the screen, and that's how a lot of us are. We're just like this, we can't turn it off. And God designed it so that there would be a shutdown. And God, in his perfect design, gives us invitation so that your body can get restored one day a week and literally 8 hours a night. So seeing Sabbath as an invitation starts to change things. So here's what I have to do. I have to draw a boundary one day a week, draw boundaries on things that don't replenish you. This does not include your children. Would be nice. It would be nice. Said to Stacy last week, it would be nice. Sabbath would feel different, but we have kids, and so we do things with them on Sabbath day. But it's this concept that one day a week, there's a limitation to work. See, Abraham Heschel, in his book called The Sabbath, talks about the convergence of space and time. So right now, you and I sit in both of them. We sit in space, we sit in time. 6 days a week, we master space. One day a week, we're reminded of the fact that we can't control time. So we can build cities, we can create governments, we can move rivers, we can, in Singapore, they've made a whole like big part of the city that didn't exist 30 years ago, and places like Dubai, now they're building out into the water, they're making space. But one day a week, it's good to be reminded, you're not God. You are not. And there's a God who stands outside of time. And no matter how much you can control space, you will never for one moment be able to control time or stop it. And the end is coming for every single human being. So God invited them into this reality where space and time converge to say, I can't control time. There's a God who stands outside of it, and he invites me into his presence, his eternal presence, one day a week in a richer, deeper, more meaningful way. I draw the boundary on the things that don't replenish me. This means like, it's okay, have a day where there's no laundry. It's okay, have a day where there's no email. It's okay, it's an invitation. If you see it as an invitation, you'll receive it with joy. If it's an obligation, you'll feel guilty every time you do something wrong, and then you won't step into it. It's amazing how often we switch this in the journey spiritually. It's an invitation, not an obligation. You guys got that one. At North San Jose, you guys got it. South San Jose, you guys got it. Sunnyvale, yes, you do. Okay, all right. Second one is this. Choosing Sabbath as a rhythm increases your effectiveness. What I want to compare and contrast here is a rhythm of work and rest versus a toil or a spiral of toil and leisure. Unpack what I mean by this. So God sets up rhythms. Again, back to his design, his brilliance. 6 days a week, you work. Is this too much thinking this time of day for you guys? Okay. So 6 days a week, you work. 1 day a week, you rest. 6 days on, 1 day off. Six on, 1 day off is better than seven on. So what happens is in our society, with the transition, we used to be an agricultural society, so we'd go into the fields and then we would come home. You can't work. Well, we wouldn't go into the fields, but our ancestors would go into the fields, or maybe your relatives who live in like Central California, you know, people go into the fields and then they come home and they'd have time off. And then with the Industrial Revolution, the plants would stop, like the automotive plant at 5 o'clock, it shut down. So then we go to technological revolution and now a digital revolution. You can track all this with history. Digital revolution, you cannot shut it down. You're always on. You always have to respond. So what it does is it wars against the natural circadian rhythm that God has set up. And so what we do is we'll start working. We spiral and we'll toil and leisure. So we will like get on our phones and check messages. How many of you have done this? You check messages, but you don't respond because you don't know what to say, but now you're thinking about it, and now you're angry at your coworker, but you're screaming at your kid because you're angry at your coworker because you read the email. Anybody else? Moment of honesty, right? And that's toil. There's no progress in that. So then you try to recover from it, so you sit down on the couch to look at Instagram or Facebook, but now you're jealous over the fact that, you know, she's going out with him and you thought you were going to go out with him. So now you're jealous, and so you were toiling, and now you're trying to leisurely get away from it, but you're spiraling downward. So God created the world that you would work, and you would work on meaningful things. So 6 days a week, he gave you dominion over the world. He gave us, based on his authority that he put in us. It says that we're image bearers of God. Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. We're distinguished. I know you love your cat and she licks your face, but you're different from her. I'm not saying she's from Satan. I'm just saying you are different from your cat. You are made in the image of God so you can do meaningful, eternal work 6 days a week. You can cooperate with the Spirit of God to advance the purposes of God on planet Earth, and it has a resounding effect for eternity 6 days a week. That's awesome. So you're given all these gifts and talents and good things from God, but 1 day a week, you gotta shut it down. And what it does is over time, it produces more effectiveness when you cooperate with the rhythm that God put in place. How many of you like the Warriors here? Just out of curiosity. Okay, Andre Iguodala. Yeah. My son got a DeMarcus Cousins jersey. He's wearing it now, which is cool. He's never played a game, but he's got a jersey already, which is sweet. So I read this week about Andre Iguodala. So he did this experiment where he started sleeping more. Y'all, this will trip your mind. Listen to this. So he started sleeping more, and he found a 12% increase in playing time. His three-point percentage, just like the line in the back. If you don't never play basketball, there's like a line, and past it is worth three, inside is worth two. So his three-point percentage more than doubled. His turnovers decreased by 37%, and his fouls dropped by 45%. Simply by sleeping more at night. It's unreal how when we embrace that, it changes things. So here's what I want to encourage you. Application of that big idea number two is to figure out beforehand what needs to be done by the end of the work week. So it's like, okay, I know whatever your day is, maybe it's Sunday, maybe it's Saturday, maybe it's Friday, maybe it's Monday, but 1 day a week, we're going to shut it down, let our devices rest, let our soul catch up. And what we're going to do is we're going to say, okay, if this is the finish line, I got to get everything else done by this point. So that means I need to respond like, hey, if I got an email from my boss and it needs to be responded to, before the end of the day, on my work day, before I get a day of rest, I'm going to respond to it because it needs to be taken care of. There are things that need to be done by the end of the boundary, and then ultimately knowing that when the day comes, things can rest. There are emails that won't get replied to. You can put a notification on your email that says, peace out, it's Sabbath day, yo, 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 brother, catch up with you the next day, something like that. But it's that sense of there is a limitation to our work. See, what the limitation does is it forces priority. So if you're always on, everything's always equally important. Every notification is just as significant. Every crying baby, every like person in traffic, they're in your way, and all this stuff. You're like, you can't stop and slow down long enough to do the most important things. So what limitation does, when you draw a boundary to say, this is my space to rest, now I have to say, what are the most important things that I have to get done? So for me, my day of rest is Friday. My sermon is due on Sunday. If it's not done before Friday, I'm anxious all day Thursday. So I got to say, okay, what do I need to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to be ready by Friday so that I can preach or give the message on Sunday? You can apply it to your context. This gives so much liberty and priority and shapes the way you work when you force limitations on yourself. It's also an invitation not just for you to rest with God, but it's an invitation for God to work with you. So when you work 6 days a week on his priorities, you're not just working for God, you're working with God. So you're saying, okay, now these 6 days, I can't work on the seventh day, so that means on these 6 days, I need your help. I need your wisdom to know what things need to be cut, what things can't be done. Because if you are like me, there's always stuff that's not done, right? There are always things that you need to get to, but you can't get to them. So priorities are clarified with the concept of the Sabbath. See, there was a brilliance into the way that God designed these people. God wanted to create a nation or a group of people that he would bless the whole world through. How could he bless the whole world through them if they weren't productive and fruitful? They had to be distinguished from the other nations so that they could produce, so that they could bless. So what God wants to do is he does want to bless you. He wants to bless you with strength. He wants to bless your marriage. He wants to bless your relationship with your kids. He wants to bless your finances so that your blessing can produce a blessing for other people. And ultimately for them, it was for other nations. God was trying to make them holy and set apart. And this rhythm of work and rest was God's gift, but it was also his strategy to use them, to distinguish them, to set them apart. Everybody's working 7 days a week. They're exhausted. I'm working six and I'm getting more done. That's what God wanted them to see. Now, if we were in the Southeast, you would drive around on a Sunday and see Chick-fil-A and you would be reminded of the Sabbath. Here in California, we got Jack in the Box and McDonald's and Burger. They're all open, you know, which is cool. Go to them on Sunday. God bless you. But my point is, there's really very little in our society that reminds us we got to shut it down. But when we create that boundary in and of ourselves, I know what you're thinking, man. You're like, try it. You know, like, come sit in my shoes and try it. I'll be fired. I can't do this. I got so much weight on me. But I dare you to try it. To have the courage to trust God and invite him into your work. This is an act of courage to shut it down for 1 day a week. Okay, that's number two. I preached on that more than I intended to. But there's one last thing I want to say as we wrap up our time together. And this one's a little bit more spiritual. And the third point, in terms of Sabbath rest, it will transform the rest of your life. And one of the ways that it does this, number three, is embracing Sabbath for worship will transform your relationship with God. See, the whole goal of Sabbath was to reconnect the people of God back to the heart of God. And more than anything else, it was about relationship with himself. It's packaged in the first four of the Ten Commandments. That's why it's there, because it's about relationship with God. It's one day set apart to worship, to remember. He gives them the command. He says this in chapter 5, verse 15. He says, remember that you once were slaves in Egypt. It's amazing how intrinsically connected work is to our identity. See, the way that you see yourself will be the way that you ultimately go about your work. And there are so many of us that we are trying so hard with our work to derive our identity. Like, if I can work hard enough and produce something, if I could get in TechCrunch magazine, if I could get that promotion, if I could be on that team at Google, if I could do that, then I would feel really good about myself. So I'm striving. And what happens is, especially in our culture, we're on this hamster wheel of trying to produce, to try to get identity, when God says to them, remember that no longer are you a slave. Because back in Egypt, remember when you were there and there was no rest? And for 7 days a week, over your mom and your dad and your grandma and your grandpa, and like as many generations as you as nation of Israel know, that there were people that would stand over them, and every few minutes there was somebody with a whip that would say, you got to keep going. They would take a breath, they'd try to get water, they'd slow down, and the whip would come again. It would crack over and over and over again to remind them as a nation that not just one of them, but all of them were slaves. Every single one of them. And God says, remember that at one point this was your identity. But now, he says, now the Lord your God has brought you out with a strong and powerful arm. So this would bring to memory all the miracles that God had performed for the Israelites. The fact that he had divided the Red Sea so that they could walk across on dry ground. The fact that God had liberated them from the Egyptians who kept chasing them and trying to destroy them. He said, remember that God brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And this is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath. It's because you're free. You've been liberated. You are not under bondage anymore. The Egyptians are gone. So now what you need to understand is, like, you could go into the promised land as free people and still live as slaves. And so many of us, my heart just is so heavy over this. We live as slaves. We can't rest. We wake up on Monday and it's on. We're stuck in traffic, and we get into the office and there are all these messages waiting for us, and we're just on this hamster wheel. And God is saying, I've liberated you. See, when we celebrate the Sabbath, we're not looking back. I mean, all the stuff for Israel was great, but our freedom, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, have come because there was one who would come and live among us that would take our sins upon a cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 talks about this, and it says that God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf in order that we might become the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, for there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So those Ten Commandments and all the laws served as a reminder for the people of Israel. Every time they'd look at them, they'd be like, missed that one, didn't keep that one, I can't do that. I'm trying, but I keep falling. And it feels now like a weight, and it feels now like an obligation, and I can't do it. So now I'm in bondage to my desire, and now I'm in bondage to the law. And now I have all these things I just can't keep up with. And I do want to rest, but every time I go to rest, I check my messages, and here I am working again, and I'm struggling, and I'm in this spiral. Who's going to free me from all of this? Only Jesus can liberate you. So the cross and the empty tomb is the message. It's the message of the gospel, the good news that God came, that you and I, not needing to be Jewish, every nation, tribe, and tongue, can stand before God free. So you can take a day off, and on that day you can be like, I'm free. I don't have to respond. There's a God that loved me, that gave himself up for me. And because of that, his Spirit lives in me. He's blessed me. He's given me joy. He's given me peace. He calls me a son or a daughter of God. I'm not a slave to my sin anymore. I'm not a slave to my lust anymore. I'm not a slave to my addictions anymore. I'm liberated to become the man or woman of God that he's created me to be. So for one day a week, Can we just slow down and thank him and tell him he's good and praise him for what he's done? So here's the application. It's to practice gratitude and delight with God, with others, and in the world around you. Eat some good dessert. Have a good meal. Look eyeball to eyeball with the most important people in your life. Put your phone down for a little while. Thank God. Go out for a walk. Look up at the sky in this 75 degree and sunny weather and just thank God that you live in one of the most beautiful places on the earth. Thank him that you're not a slave anymore to your sin. Thank him for the relationships in your life. Thank him for your job. Thank him for provision. This amazing the way that just one day a week centers the rest of your life. He's inviting you. He's wooing you. He's inviting you with this beautiful gift called Sabbath rest. And what's amazing is it's a foreshadow. It's a picture that one day those of us who've trusted in Jesus will spend eternity with him forever. And all the brokenness, all the pain, all the sorrow that you feel will be gone and you'll be with him. So when we Sabbath, we thank, we remember, we rejoice, but we know that this world is not our home, that we await a day when we will be with him forever. Now, I know that there's some of you here today and you're like, yeah, all that's cool, whole God thing and worship, and that's just not me. But what I'm saying to you today is it can be you. It can. And the invitation from God to relationship with himself comes because of a cross and an empty tomb, that the Spirit of God can come and live inside of you and awaken your soul. If any person is in Christ, the scripture says, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So today you can become a new creation based on faith in Jesus and what he's done on a cross, trusting in him for forgiveness for your sins and brokenness, yielding of your life to him today. That can be you. That can be your story. No longer a slave to sin, but liberated by the grace of God. Will you receive that today? Receive that gift, all of our campuses. I want you to look me in the eye, Sunnyvale. I want to see your eyes, South San Jose, up here. Right now, there's somebody at one of those campuses, and the Spirit of God is stirring in you right now. You're not a follower of Jesus, but you know today is the day of salvation. You know it. And today's the day to open up your heart to him for all of eternity to receive his grace. Will you do it right now in this moment? Every eye bowed, every head bowed, every eye closed, all of our campuses right now. If that's you, just tell him, God, I need you. I don't want to do life on my own anymore. I want you. I need you. Jesus, forgive me for my sins in the past. And I yield my heart to you fully. I surrender my life to you. Thank you for new life. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the rest that comes in you. And right now, the Holy Spirit is stepping in. He's making you new. You're reborn. You're what scripture calls regenerated from the inside out. You're experiencing it right now in this moment. Just a minute, I'm going to ask you to let us know on your connection card when the campus pastor comes forward. Just tell us you made that decision. Others of you today saying, I need rest. I need God's grace to enter in. I need a day off. I need to breathe. Just slip your hands up. Say, I need rest today. Just slip them up. All of our campuses, South San Jose, Sunnyvale, just slip them up. God, thank you today for people that are coming to you for the kind of rest that only you can give. Thank you that our new identity, that you stretched out your arm, that both of your arms were there nailed on a cross, and that you proved your power through conquering the grave, and that because of this today, we're liberated as sons and daughters of the King. That we don't have to prove ourselves anymore, but we are approved by you, that we stand liberated, that we can work hard for 6 days and one day we can rest. Help us receive this gift from your hand. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen.